Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Thanks for coming along. As you're all aware, we've announced our results. What you'll see is that we've had a really good year. We've grown by 7% on revenue and 13.5% on EBITDA. We've also achieved over 100% cash conversion. We are starting to gain good traction on cross-sell, and we've got a slide later on that goes through the penetration that we're getting of our solutions on cross-sell. We've also had the key milestone of going live on the fully integrated solution at Clwyd, New Gobles and CHI. So those solutions were, the implementation started in 2017, and in November 2018, we actually went live with those on three sites. We continue to innovate. So, you know, for us, you know, it's not just about sitting on our laurels and looking at the solutions that we've got in our portfolio. We've created a number of new solutions, and one will show that's being deployed at the moment with housing solutions using artificial intelligence and Alexa. And we're obviously going to look at introducing a maiden dividend. Now, at the end of last year, we also took the decision, and when I say last year, I mean March this year, our financial year, we took the decision to merge our software business and our managed services business to create one unified Castleton business. And the reason why we did that was we recognised that we had two sales force, a managed services sales force and a software sales force. And so you'd have a situation where a customer, if they want managed services and software, they'd be dealing with two account managers. And we looked at that and said, well, actually, the best thing to do is to provide either pre-sales or cross-training so that we only had one sales force. So at the end of the year, we merged the whole business to create a Castleton Solutions business. So in slides later on, Hayward will talk about managed services performance and software performance and the comparatives. But this will be the last year that we'll be doing that because we've unified it together. Looking around the table, unless anyone tells me differently, you all know what Castleton does. You know, so I wasn't going to particularly go through. Obviously, these slides are created for new investors that don't have the experience of social housing. One thing that is, you know, different is we've obviously launched our Castleton Community Solution this year, which is a shrink-wrap version of our housing, our document management, and our mobile solution. And that plays into the housing associations that have less than 1,000 properties. So we launched it this year, and we've got two customers taking that. That's Clanmill and Cirencester. And that's a market that's about 1,000 HAs have less than 1,000 properties. So we're in implementation mode with these two customers. And it's like all these things within the housing association, you need to have your first live referenceable site to get good traction on that. And those sites are due to go live in around about September, October this year. So if you look at our solution set, we've done some rebranding and tried to align our solution set to tenders that come out or business drivers that HAs have got. So if you look over the left-hand side, you'll see the digital engagement solution set, which is all about mobile engagement. It's all about our Castleton.digital platform, artificial intelligence, and communication manager. Artificial intelligence, we'll show a short video of in a few slides. Communications manager is our latest acquisition that we did, which was DeepLake. What we did is we looked at the market and we looked at how we could increase our ability to engage tenants and help housing associations engage tenants. And what we recognised was there was a company called Deep Lake that Castleton Solutions were integrated into quite closely that did this two-way communications. So it's the sort of communications where you'll get a text and say, you booked a repair operative tomorrow. Do you still want that booking? And you can confirm yes or no. If you say no, you don't want it, it'll then text you through some options to rebook a booking using a two-way text messaging. So you'll text, goes back into the repair system, looks at when someone's available, and the repair system will text back out, and you can have that two-way dialogue. So we see this solution as adding value to our existing solution. Deep Lake had 90 customers, of which 70 were already existing Castleton customers, but there was 20 new customers, you know, so it gave us, some net new customers as well. Business Essentials is our housing, CRM, our maintain and community. Maintain is a solution that does our repairs management. Operational efficiency is reporting, EDRM, which is it's more than document management. It's an enterprise resource management. So it'll manage documents. It'll manage video, it'll manage phone calls, it'll manage photos. So it'll manage all the interactions someone in a social housing landlord could have with a tenant. We then got our financial management, which is a core ledger system, a P2P, a service charge, and bricks. And then all that can be either delivered in the cloud. We've got our cloud delivery, our disaster recovery as a service. And not only can we deliver our own solutions in the cloud, but we quite often deliver our competitors' solutions in the cloud. So if you look at the market, you for those of you who've been here before, you'll notice that there was 1,700 before. Obviously, there's 1,672. There's been 28 mergers throughout the year where HAs have come together. The drivers are very much the same. It's the rent reductions continue. They've got one more year of that to run. There's a lot more focus on digital transformation, engaging tenants by, things like apps, by things like Alexa, by things like portals, so that the tenant doesn't have to wait till the call centre opens to book a repair or carry out basic business interactions. And obviously, there's still the same focus on compliance and regulatory requirements. So the need to be able to catch and capture evidence that an operative has gone out and serviced a sprinkler system in a high-rise block of flats or a fire alarm system. We've got a number of operatives that take videos of that, and then that's stored in our document management system. So if you look at the next slide, we've worked closely with Housing Solutions to create a new system to integrate into Alexa. And so far we've rolled out, they're actually paying for 500 Alexa devices to go into their property as the first phase of this rollout. And they're also putting Wi-Fi into the properties as well. And the business case for them is they've looked at the peak loading on their call centres on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, where they get hundreds of calls of people who want to log repairs. So we've got a short example, and it is only a short example, of how that technology is being used. So this is filmed in a Housing Solutions.
What can you do?
Property.
You can use the Housing Solutions skill to check your balance. Update your mobile number. Check when you last paid. Add and remove people from your tenancies. Request a visit or call. Request a refund. Request to repair. Or to end your tenancy.
Add Chris Martin to my tenancy.
We have registered your request to have Chris Martin added to your current tenancy. Thank you.
Can I have a visit on the 18th of March?
We have registered your request to have a visit. Thank you.
So we've got a longer, I mean, believe it or not, it was 4 minutes. We've got a longer video going through sort of logging a repair, going through asking about rent balances, querying rent balances, you know, all those on our website. And what it shows is, you know, the capability of what we've deployed initially. We've also got a whole set of roadshows going on this week, and there's actually one near Euston Station in London today, where we've got the IT Director of Housing Solutions, who's actually speaking about, you know, what he's done here, but more from the fact of social inclusion to the tenants, saying that the tenants can now, you know, they don't have to worry about using technology. You know, they can actually just talk to an Alexa chat box that they provide to do basic, you know, things like book a repair.
So on to the financial highlights. So for the year ended March, revenue was up 13.3% to 26.4 million. And 15.4 of that million revenue is recurring. That's up by 1.4 million from 14 million in the prior year. So that's now 58% of revenues on a recurring basis. And then the organic revenue growth was 7.3%. Adjusted EBITDA was up 23.5% to 6.3 million. And that, again, the organic growth on that was 13%. Operating cash flow was good. So that was up from 5.2 to 6.5 million. So up 25%. And that represents 103% of operating cash conversion, 97% on a post-exceptionals basis. And then with that cash, we've used that to pay down our net debt. So that's reduced from 6.3 million to 5.1 million at the end of March. We've obviously also used it for the acquisition of DeepLake, which is 1.8 million. We've acquired our outsourced Indian development partner, 350K through a mixture of cash and shares. And then right at the start of the year, we acquired the perpetual license for the financial modelling solution, which has increased our margins by 300K in the year. And you'll see that when we come to look at the software results. Earnings per share, both on a basic and diluted basis, are effectively in line with the prior year. So 5.08 on a basic basis and 4.81 on a diluted basis. Just look at the next slide. This shows our contracted backlog, which has grown by 12.6% since March 2018. And you can see the sort of the steady growth in our contracted backlog since March 2017. So that now stands at 30.3 million. If we just focus on our recurring revenues, so I said the recurring revenue in the year was 15.4 million. We started the year, so the March 2018 exit run rate was 13.6 million with 400,000 of recurring revenue in backlog. So our revenue that we hadn't yet implemented and haven't yet hit the P&L. So we've increased that by order intake by 1.5 million in the year. So that's 1.5 million on an annualized basis. The acquisition of Bricks has added another just under £1 million worth of recurring revenue on an annualized basis. And then our exit run rate at end of March 19 was 15.7 million with the backlog growing to 720,000. That's 720,000 of recurring revenue which hasn't yet hit that exit run rate or gone through the P&L. And that will come online over the current financial year. Just looking at our cross-sell as well. So if you recall at the end of last financial year, we said 59% of our customers only take one product. So that's reduced to 50% at the end of March 19. So looking at it the other way, we've got 50% of our customers taking more than two products. And again, as we try and continue that journey of cross-sell, we hope that percentage only taking one product will reduce further. So there's some little metrics there, looking at the number that take one, the number of products. So the number of customers taking one product is reduced by 36 to 294. The number of customers taking two products has increased by 34 to 119, and so on. And then the number of customers taking seven or more products is now 7%. And the number taking eight has gone up by 5% in the year to 36. So we've got 591 core, what we call core customers. That's social housing customers plus the associated contractor market, the likes of Waits, Fortum, Energy and Novus. DeepLake added 20 new customers to our base during the year as well through that acquisition. So just moving on to our income statement at a summary level. Over the last year, we've looked at it on a both a software and managed service basis. That will change going forward because we've merged those two divisions. So this financial, the current financial year, we will look at it as a single organisation following the merger. We've done that to try and increase the traction on cross-sell and get the organisation working together more as a single unit. And I think it makes sense from our customers' point of view because then they have one point of contact into the company as opposed to two. So looking at the software results in the year, that the revenues have increased by 20% from 12.4 million to 15 million. Recurring revenue has increased by 8.1 million to 9 million. And our gross margin has increased by 2 percentage points from 91 to 93%. Good operational leverage in software. So we've seen trading EBITDA increase by 46% from 3.2 million to 4.7 million. On managed services, we've also seen the revenue uptick to a lesser extent from 10.9 million to 11.4 million. We've invested in that business during the year in terms of additional management capability. So our trading EBITDA has remained flat at 3.3 million. And we've also invested in our CapEx in our data centres. So we've invested 0.7 million for new infrastructure that will see us through for the next 3 years to allow an increase in our hosting capability. So overall, group revenues have gone from 23.3 to 26.4. Group EBITDA has gone from 5.1 to 6.3 million. Just in terms of looking at our statutory income statement in summarised format, revenue is, we've talked about revenue and EBITDA. We've got a slight increase in our amortisation due to the acquired intangibles. We've actually got an exceptional charge this year of 0.3 million. So that is around the acquisition of DeepLake, the acquisition of our Indian outsourced partner, and the integration of the Australian business, which we bought Kinetic at the end of 2017. And this compares with the 0.8 exceptional credit in 2018. So effectively in our P&L, we've got a £1.1 million swing. Share-based payments have ticked up slightly. We've started a Save As You Earn scheme in the UK for UK employees, which we had a 45% uptake on in the year. And it's also for a full year charge share-based payment for the senior management team. There are 13 members. We put an LTIP in at the back end of last year, so we've now got a full year charge for that. Net finance costs have remained static at 0.3 million, and we've got a resulting PBT of 1.2 million. We've taken a slightly longer term view on our profitability and therefore the recoverability of accelerated capital allowances. So we've got a larger tax credit going through the P&L this year of 2.9 million compared with 2.3 million last year. And the resultant profit for the period is 4.1 million, which is in line with the prior year as well. I've talked about our basic and diluted earnings per share. Just looking at our cash flow. We've had effectively a flat change in working capital, 0.2 million increase. Our operating cash flow is 6.5 million, 103% of operating cash conversion. We've had 0.4 million outflow from exceptionals. Cash interest is reduced to 0.1. So our convertible loan notes, we don't cash pay, the interest rolls up on that. So it's just on the bank loan that we pay interest. We've had a 0.2 million tax credit in the year. The purchase of intangible assets of a million is the acquisition of the BRICS or financial modelling licence. And as I mentioned earlier, we've put more capex into the business this year to the tune of circa another 700k. I would expect that 1 million to reduce back down to 0.4, 0.5 million going forwards. So 4.2 million of free cash flow, which we've used for acquisitions and financing activities. And our net cash change in the year is 0.9 million. So in terms of our highlights, we've had some strong results. We've said we're going to implement a progressive dividend policy. We expect to pay our first dividend of 1 pence per share in September. We've exercised the BRICS license, which has increased our margins. We've entered into a strategic partnership with our Indian outsourced partner. We've made some acquisitions such as DeepLake, and all this investment has allowed us to launch new products that we've talked about, such as Castleton.digital. And we've now got 3 integrated reference sites that are up and running, which will hopefully help drive future business going forwards.
So looking ahead, if you look at our growth strategy, it's very much focused. You know, we've now got 16 salespeople in the business. Of those 16 salespeople, we've got 14 focused on our existing customers, 2 focused on new business. On new business, at the moment, we've got 7 active, fully integrated bids going on. If we looked at this time last year, we probably only had 2 or 3 bids, and that was driven down to the fact that we couldn't really bid for about double the amount of business that was there because we didn't have live referenceability on the fully integrated solution, which we got in November last year. So we've got more bids in play this year than we did last year. We've also got our new solution, Castleton.digital, which is now referenceable on a couple of our sites. We've got Castleton Community, which is a solution that goes into smaller HAs, which, as I mentioned, will be referenceable in September. And what we're seeing is, in the customer base, we're seeing far more acceptance of taking cloud as a delivery method. You know, customers are now accepting that actually, with the right levels of security, with the right levels of firewalls and virus checkers, that actually we're better qualified and better skilled and better experienced than they are of providing a secure, robust infrastructure to deliver a service. Now, looking at mergers and acquisitions, you know, we're always on the lookout for solutions that will add some value to our overall solution. You know, if you look at DeepLake last year, we managed to secure that at 4x earnings, which was, you know, a reasonably good deal. When it comes to geographies, we're not looking at new geographies. We're focused around UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. So, and that will remain the focus, certainly for the next 12 to 18 months. Now, one of the things that we've done this year is put a little bit more time and effort into investing in our people. Our people are becoming more and more important to us because, you know, we've got a lot of new solutions coming to market. You know, we're investing a lot in training our people. So at the beginning of the year, we did an employee net promoter score. It's basically an industry accepted measure, employee engagement. And we did a one in March this year, so sort of nearly 11 months later. And we've increased the employee satisfaction by 40 points. So we can see that we're making strides to improve satisfaction. We implemented a Save As You Earn scheme across the business in August last year, and we had a 45% take-up of that scheme, which is good. We intend to give people the chance and the opportunity to subscribe to that scheme again in August this year. We also, because we are putting the business under a significant amount of pressure to deliver new solutions, from a development point of view, to provide excellent customer service from support point of view, to implement these solutions. So what we looked at was every employee who doesn't have a bonus or a commission scheme now has the right to be in a company bonus scheme. And what we do is if the business overperforms its EBITDA, will put an amount into the company bonus scheme, which will pay out to all the staff. And we've also implemented more robust appraisal side. So all that we expect to help us reduce our attrition going forward. And obviously, if we reduce our attrition, that means that we've got more skilled people, and it also reduces our cost recruitment costs. So if you look at roadmaps, I don't intend really to go through this in detail. What we're trying to show here is we're continuing to develop new releases of all of our solution, as well as new solutions. So we've got the web service builder, which allows people to integrate into our solutions from competitive solutions. We've got an AI manager, which is a new product. We've then got things like Castleton Scheduling coming to the market later on this year. So we continue to develop and enhance our solutions, because what we've seen is customers, once we get referenceability, are prepared to take those new solutions. So looking at priorities, in the short term, as I mentioned, we've got 16 in our sales team. We've got 2 on new business, we've got 14 on existing business. Of that 16, 7 people, 7 of the salespeople, have less than 4 months' service. So we know that we've got to do some investment there to bring them up to speed on the Castleton solutions. We'll start delivering more sites on the integrated solution. We've got a number, we've got another 3 or 4 sites that we're implementing as we speak. We'll continue with strong cash conversion, and that gives us the option, obviously, to pay down debt, pay a dividend, and also fund any acquisitions that we want to do. Longer term, we're going to look, when the time's right, to do cloud delivery as our default option. We will win more fully integrated solutions, and that'll lead to us, obviously, increasing our contractor backlog. And then that'll help us fund further complementary acquisitions. So, you know, if you look at the summary, you know, we still believe that the social housing market offers us significant opportunity in the geographies we play in. We also know that we've got great capability around our digital solutions. 95% of it is our own IP, you know, so it's not third party. We control the development of it. We're focused on continuing to build a scalable business. We've got high levels of recurring revenue. We think the recurring revenue will go back into the 60% plus as we bring more and more customers into live running. We will continue to get traction on cross-sell. And the new solutions, you know, that we deliver to the market, we're getting a lot of interest in. And we believe that the, you know, the senior management team and the 13 people that Hayward mentioned are incentivized the same way as we're incentivized to deliver a successful, growing, cash generative business. So who's got the first question?
I have the first question.
Yep.
When you approach a housing association, who is your first point of contact?
So it can be multiple people. It could be the CFO. If it's a finance inquiry, it could be the housing director. If it's to do with tenant engagement, it could be the repairs director. And more, and the reason why we did a little bit of rebranding and recategorization of our solutions, we've seen a new post being created called the Digital Engagement Director, which is all about increasing the interaction with tenants. So that's why we've created our solution triangle to have a digital enablement area, so that we can then go and have a conversation with that person. So this week we're doing a whole set of roadshows around digital engagement, and the housing solutions that we showed with Alexa, their IT director, Richard Harvey, is actually speaking at the session about how he's used Alexa to increase that interaction with tenants via artificial intelligence. So that acts as a hook in there to get more HAs to come along to our events, because he's speaking there rather than listen to us speaking there.
When I look at your traction on cross-sell, the little graphic of products purchased, I can't remember in detail, but it looks to me like you've had quite a bit more success in moving clients in the direction you want to go compared to the past. Is it getting easier to do that because of all the work you've put into integration, product suite and staff and everything?
Yes, I would say it is. So especially with some of the success we've had is starting offering like the financial modelling solution on a hosted basis. We've actually done, I think, 30 of those in the year. And that's quite a low ticket price hosted solution. But once we've got that, then it gives us a footprint to then try and do more hosting, you know, get further hosting into that client. So yes, I think it answers your question.
Of the 15.4 million recurring revenue that you have, what percentage of that is your, how diversified is that recurring revenue in terms of your largest business?
So it's, in terms of the recurring revenue, so in terms of our software products, it's reasonably well diversified. So circa 3.3 million. I've got the breakdown by total revenue, not necessarily of recurring. So I can give you the breakdown of the total revenues. So 3.3 million is our repairs product, maintain. We've got about 1.2 million for each of financials and housing. So that's sort of 2.2 million together. Our EDRM documents management system is just under 2 million. Our mobile technology, Agile, is about 1.3 million. And then the other large one is our financial modelling solution, which is about, just under 2 million. So we've got quite a decent sort of spread amongst the software products. There's not an overly dominant one. There's a good spread. Managed services, obviously, about 55% of that business is recurring. And that's 11.4 million. So 56% recurring, and 11.4 million. That's across a range of managed services, whether it's backup as a service or disaster recovery or fully hosted.
Can you give a bit more color on the integrated bid? So you said last year you bid on two. You only bid on two and you won two?
No, we bid on two and we lost one because of, you know, basically it came down, we won on price, we lost on referenceability.
Okay, and then now this time you're bidding on seven?
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned in your outlook statement about Australia, I'm just curious as to why you did that, and is it not, I didn't think it was particularly material, but I don't know what's happening there. Maybe you could expand.
Yeah, so Australia, if we wind back to the end of December 2017, we did the Kinetic acquisition, and Kinetic were growing, you know, at 40-50%, and that's what attracted us to do that. Winning all the new business, there was good opportunity. When we did the acquisition, the two founder members of that said, listen, we only want to stay with the business for 2 years max. So, don't think we're going to run the business. So consequently, at the beginning of April last year, we appointed a new general manager to go through a rigorous selection process, aptitude tests, psychometric tests, all that. From April to the end of Q1, the end of June, we started to pick up some signs that things weren't executing properly and as we wanted in Australia. So at the end of quarter one, we put in some measures, and at the end of quarter two, we looked at it and thought, it's not working. So we decided to take out the GM and promote someone internally, which we did do. The two founder members, unfortunately, of Kinetic said, we've had enough, we want to leave, you know, regardless of the fact that the GM's gone. So they went as well. And consequently, quarter three was about a period of consolidation last year. Quarter quarter four was our best quarter of the year. So the business started to execute with the new internal resource. But in effect, what it did is it delayed the growth of that market by about 12 months, you know, and had a small impact on the revenue forecast going forward. If you look at it, you know, the Australian revenue is less than 10% of the overall group. But it was an area that we thought would grow significantly, and it's probably about a year behind. The issues are, you know, behind us now, but it's something that we thought we should make people aware of because, you know, we are transparent.
You're merging, your segmental reporting will disappear.
Yeah.
Managed services is fairly flat. A cynic might say that you're doing that because of managed services is going to get worse. And that you're, you know, going to manage to mask managed services going south.
You couldn't say that. We've done it so that we can accelerate the top line growth. Because when you had a customer, you know, if you look at Housing Solutions, prime example, they take a range of software solutions and they take a range of managed service solutions. So we had a salesperson from managed services, a salesperson from software, and with most of our customers, you know, 50% of our customers only taking one product, if we want to get them up the scale, what's the best way to do it? Instead of having two people going into them and then getting confused, you know, have one person selling everything. Okay, you get specialists, but also it's a consequence of where we've come from. We've taken two managed services businesses and put them together to form managed services. We had eight software businesses, seven in the UK, put them together. So you effectively end up with two support desks, two professional services teams, and it will be, you know, so now we haven't saved any costs because it wasn't about saving cost, but it's about making sure that we've got one support person looking at a customer's problem. So if they have a Housing Solutions have a problem, they probably want to have one line of escalation as opposed to two for two different product sets. So it's
like a relationship manager.
Yeah. So it was inevitable that we would probably do it. The fact that we think we can accelerate cross-sell is part of it. Managed services, you know, it could have done better in the year. We put extra management in, hasn't really grown the top line as much as we wanted. So
what will be your way of segmenting the revenues in the future?
Recurring, non-recurring. So we'll have recurring revenue with, you know, we have a line for sort of maintenance and software. We have a line for hosted solutions. And then we have a sort of we include in our recurring revenue repeat revenues like text messages for DeepLake. Have a line for that. And then we'll have a one-off. So it'll be professional services, product, other one-offs really. So that's the way we look at it.
What's your sort of debt position as of today?
As of today, net debt, well, it was 5.1 million at the year end, which included 4 million of bank loan. We've paid down 150k of deferred consideration. We have paid off 333,000 of bank loan, which is paid off at 1.3 million a year. So it will be about just over 4.5 million of net debt. So I expect by the end of this year, we will be probably still have a small amount of net debt, but it'll be close to.
Well, it's a nice position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's worked hard to get there, haven't you?
Yeah. Certainly in FY21, as long as we don't do any further acquisitions, well, I hope we do some acquisitions, but if we didn't, then we'd be cash positive in FY21.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes. Thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.